This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Jimmy from Boston. The only way the Yellow Hulk, Justin James Watt, is getting any use out of those cast t-shirts is as fucking wristbands. But he ordered them anyway. And that's a nice touch. Way to support the show, kid.
Three, two, one. Boom, Pete and Sebastian Show. We're back. What's going on, bro?
Well, started right off, bro. Went to the doctor yesterday, podiatrist. I've had some swelling in my big toe for quite some time. And I went, I'd say about 7 years ago. They said it was arthritic. And they had made some inserts for me, some orthotics. I lost those orthotics the first week I had them. And I never looked back. I just kept plowing forward, thinking, "Hey, this will go away." You know, same bullshit the men think. I could, you know, stick through it. Well,
right.
When your dress shoes don't fit on one foot, you gotta go in. That's how swollen this thing was, right?
Oh man, yeah. You reach a certain age, and it's sneakers all the time, baby. This is so funny. I gotta say to listeners, we had the fascinating conversation right before we started. Now, we can't talk about, but it's really cool stuff going on Sebastian's end. And, like, you know, amazing stuff. And then we start the cast, and you go, "I got a swollen toe." And I'm still thinking about the other thing, you know? But that's what I love about this show, man. There's no story too big or too small to be discussing.
Oh, no. Yeah. The smaller ones are the best ones. Nice. I mean... So
what are we talking? So, custom-made shoes now to compensate for the toe, or what's the? Is it gout? What do we got going on?
It's not gout. It's arthritis, bone on bone. Yeah. In the big toe.
You got to get the shot, like I got in my knee, bro.
I ain't getting no shot,
bro. Oh my. Okay. Organic guy.
No shot, no surgery. I'm going orthotics, and basically it's an insert that fits into your sneaker or your dress shoe. But let's get down to the exam. All right.
Orthotics.
Now, you're going into a foot exam, and I'm going down the hallway to the room. I didn't see the doctor. I'm going down the hallway. I see Cristiano Ronaldo, best soccer player in the world, with his jersey on the wall, signed, his picture, you know, really nice put together thing.
Nobody's foot means more to them than Cristiano Ronaldo's. That's the most valuable foot in the world, probably. Seriously, right?
So that's his tool. He needs that to work.
That's it, man.
And Terry Bradshaw's jersey's there, right? Who else is it?
See, now Bradshaw, again, I can say right here, the fact that that man is even walking anymore is a compliment to your foot guy. Under anyone else's care, Bradshaw would be wheeling himself into every fucking set to talk football on Sunday, right? I mean, it's a hobble now, but he's still up on two, right? All right, two. Very impressive doctor.
So then there's another one. Basketball player, he was a Laker. I didn't know who he was or whatever. So anyway, I see like these people coming. So I go, all right, I walk in, I sit down.
You're so funny with that, bro. Like, if you just had a picture of Bob on a lawnmower and Bob's below says, "I can finally walk my mower instead of driving this thing like I had to before I saw the doc," you'd go, "Get me the fuck out of this suburban. This, I need the guy that works on the guy." That's what's so funny about you.
So I sit down. Nurse comes in. And it's weird, eh? When you see a foot doctor, you know, any other doctor, you're taking your clothes off, but here you're taking your socks off, right?
Yeah, that's I've never gotten my foot examined ever. No one's touched my foot except my wife and daughter since like 92. Swear to God. Even the massage I told her, I make it a stop at the ankle. So now do you get a pedicure before the doctor visit?
I'm always pedicured up, but don't matter. It's just it's
you're always ready for a good foot showing.
You never know when you gotta unveil your foot, you know what I mean?
I do never. Well, it's apparently you though, guy. You can't wait to flaunt those toes.
Hey, you know, I take my feet like I do my underwear. You know, my mother always said wear clean underwear in case you get in a car accident. You know, you always got clean underwear on, you know. So I never know, you know. They're gonna wheel me into the hospital for God forbid for some. They're gonna look down and they're gonna go, fucking had a heart attack, but fucking feet are beautiful.
I know. Don't even actually, they're going to look at your feet and go, he has no identification on, but he must be important. Look at those toes. The guy does pedicures. He must have money. Take care of him. I'm sure he's got insurance. That's a good point, bro. That's a good point.
Oh, man. So I unveil the feet. Very proud. Very proud of what's going on with the feet right now.
Both feet or just the one that's the problem? Or does he need to
He's got to compare it. So he comes in right away. I've never had this before where the nurse starts the questioning and then the doctor came in literally in the beginning of the questioning. Normally, you get that. He comes in and he goes, big fan. Now, let me preface this by saying I've really never had this type of notoriety in my career where, you know, just I'm noticing more and more people know what I do. And I take you and the listeners through this. So the doctor's a fan. So I'm thinking to myself, is that why he didn't leave me waiting? Like, there was three people in the waiting room when I got there.
Yeah.
I filled out the paperwork and they're like, right this way. And I'm like, I thought that was kind of odd that I kind of skipped the line a little bit, right?
Yeah. Rarefied air, bro. Rarefied air. Next time I go to Disney World with my family, it's going to be with you and your family.
God. So.
But they make the excuse, which is an arguable excuse, that they're like, if I can't leave that particular client out in the lobby because other people are then going to go maybe ask for his autograph and pictures. And, you know, so let's get him through to avoid that.
No one will be in the lobby.
No.
No one will be in the lobby. Right? I was sitting there for 6 minutes filling out the paperwork. No one said shit. So I walk in. He comes in, big fan. He's like, oh, thanks a lot. That's not the other thing. He goes, well, what's the problem? I said, hey, fucking right big toe is inflamed, and he's playing around with the toe. He's like, yeah, I should be able to bend it in the 90-degree angle. I can't even get this thing. You know, he goes, I got to take some x-rays. So I'm in there, and I had like a little like fungus underneath the second toe, right? Just...
Put my coffee down the rest of the show. Oh, bro.
A tad, bro.
Tad. Fungus is non-bathing, guy. What is...
No. Listen.
I know that the spray, antiseptic spray.
No. It was, you know, just the nail didn't look right. And he goes, it's not fungus. He goes, you run? I said, yeah. Oh, he goes, your foot is hitting up against the shoe. Is the way your foot is. He goes, you're pronated and you're flat-footed and this, you know, it's bang. I said, okay. But he gave me some clear shit to put on it that clears that up, right? I just want to get the feet top notch, 100%.
Yo, hey, listen, especially if someone's going to be doing pedicures, you know, you don't want to make it awkward for everybody with...
Yeah, right? You don't want to take your foot off and go, and the pedicurist is like, I'm... Next.
Right? Like, as it is now, when you leave, she's going to go, oh, God, the toes with nails were so much whiter than last time. Thank God. He must be using something. He must have went to Ronaldo's gay.
So So he goes, I just need the x-rays to see kind of what's going on. I go, let me ask you something. This is out of bounds a little bit, but I got to ask you. I go, you know, what you do for a living, you're seeing people's feet, right? I said, you ever see somebody that comes in here and you imagine, before they even take their shoe off, you imagine what the foot looks like? Like, do you go, oh, yeah, that guy's got long toes. He's got to have long toes, right?
Like I've been to 7-Eleven where I've seen some boots where I'm like, I'd hate to beat a woman. It's got to lay next to what's underneath that boot tonight.
Right. I think some of us all do kind of imagine what the person's foot might look like. And I said, are you ever surprised if the sock comes off and you go, wow, like in your head, you go, wow, I didn't. This guy's got stubs or whatever.
Yeah.
And he starts laughing. He goes, I do that. And I go to him, I go, do my feet match what you thought they were going to look like?
I love it, bro. What'd he say?
This is like with me and you going into these places, they don't get this from anybody else.
That's like... I mean, it's like, I mean, that's Larry David-esque right there, bro. That's Larry David-esque. Yeah.
The guy sees patient after patient, and the patient's like, oh, my God, my arch hurts. And I'm coming in with questions. This guy, like, takes him off his, like, pattern of thinking, right? So he laughs. He didn't really answer the question, which suggested that my feet didn't match my personality, right? So... I go, you do Ronaldo? He goes, no. I go, no. The autographed picture of him, the frame.
Right.
And the Bradshaw. He goes, oh, no, that's the other doctor's personal autograph collection. Let me.
Oh, fuck. this is a Seinfeld episode. I hate to be that guy who says that cheesy line, but it is, man, right? You think Ronaldo just slid out the back door skipping?
I go, wait a minute, Ronaldo's never been in here? No. No, he's never been in here. I'm saying I thought you were the doctor to Ronaldo. I gotta go get a second opinion now.
That's it. No Terry Bradshaw. Nothing. No Laker.
Nobody.
Nobody. No wonder why he was freaking the fuck out when you walked in. He's never had a celebrity in there. I'll tell you who's gonna be on the wall next week, though.
And then I look past his shoulder and I see the guy on the lawnmower behind him.
I'm surprised the other doctor didn't pop in and ask to add you to his autograph collection.
Oh my god.
Did you tell him? You're like, hey, everybody out there thinks that you're doing all their feet.
Isn't that false advertising? Take this shit off the wall, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, now, but it brings me up a question, though. Moving forward, if you get asked, like, can I get a headshot for my office wall? Would you allow that, or would you be like, I don't need people to know I was in a foot doctor or I was in an eye doctor?
Listen, I'd have to say, listen, if it's for your own personal office, fine, but don't be hanging it up here. I don't want, like, people to be coming in going, what does he got? What kind of foot problem does he got that he's at the podiatrist? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Next time they come to your show, they're going to go, honey, see, you could see him. You could see him hobble a little bit. I could see where that's why he was there.
Oh, man. So I get the x-rays.
Yeah.
And then I'm hanging out with Lana last night in the living room. And I get a text about 9 o'clock. And he goes, I got the x-rays back. Can I send them to you? Now I'm thinking, that's it. I need to get the foot amputated. I mean, 9 o'clock?
You need to get a new doctor. I mean, this guy went from, we thought he was doing Ronaldo, to fan stalking now. I mean, he's literally in the kitchen with his wife. You think I can call him now? I mean, they're x-rays. And the wife's like, you should. I mean, I bet he'd want to know. Anyone would want to know at any time. Okay, I'll call him. Dude, that's a 9 a.m. call, Doc. That's a 9 a.m. call.
I got to disagree, man.
Oh, that's because you're a hypochondriac. What do you need to know about your toe that I can't wait till 9 a.m.? Honestly.
I just thought it was great customer service. Yeah,
come on, guy. It's star service.
You're going to find. He was concerned that.
Yeah, he was concerned. Yeah. There's probably a guy in there earlier that did need an amputation on a diabetic toe that didn't make it. And that guy ain't getting no 9 p.m. phone call. But he was concerned about your fungus. Jeez. You know as well as I do. But anyway, what was the call?
He was concerned. Right. It was bone on bone. Yeah. And he was like, I am surprised you're not in more pain than you are. I mean, I'm not in really any pain. You know, I'm still running. I'm still doing active stuff. But he goes, you should be, you know, in pain based on the x-rays.
Right, that makes you feel good, right? You're like, man.
But here's my question. I'm like, I hear that and I go, when's it coming? Like, if I should be in pain now, it's going to happen.
I hear what you're saying. Like, you think you're kicking the can down. It's coming any second.
I don't think the pain has kicked in yet. It's there. But now I'm conscious of the toe now. Like, right now, I feel the toe. Because, you know, like, in my head now, I go, because it's bone on bone, I'm already honed in on the toe. So my concern is I'm going to be driving one day and it's going to click in and go, and I'm going to go, that's what he's talking about. There it is.
So
I'd rather have the pain now than wait for it later. Right?
I hear you. Right? Because, you know, now's a good time. I'm home. I'm off the road. You know, let's, from a convenience standpoint, I'd rather be buckled with this thing now. I hear you.
Yeah, I don't want to be on stage and all of a sudden, holy shit, what's the, right? I got to go through the pain for half of the set. So I'm going to get these orthotics next week, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous. 48 years old, and I'm wearing, orthopedic shoes already. It's setting in. Age is setting in.
Well, like, what's the long-term solution if,
this don't work. This basically is not going to, like, spin it back. It's basically going to prevent it from getting any worse. But if it does get worse, the next step is surgery.
Are you getting these shoes online? You're not going into one of those old people stores, right?
No. He custom makes the orthotic.
Oh, all right.
You got to go back.
No. These aren't the kind of shoes I see Grandpa shopping for on Sunday. Okay. Well, listen, I don't understand, though, why you're so against getting the shot. Did they mention the shot? If you're going to do surgery, you do the shot once a year, you tighten yourself up.
It's a Band-Aid. It's a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And the more shots you get, it degenerates the cartilage in there.
All right. Well, I'll let you know when my Band-Aid falls off. It's feeling good.
Yeah. You ever get something medically and you feel great, but then someone tells you that it might not be a good idea, but now you got to defend your decision. Oh,
yeah, right? Hey, we've been doing that with the vaccine. We're all doing that left and right, right? But no, totally, you know? When you get surgery and someone's like, I'd never go under the knife. And you're like, my brother says that. And I'm like, right. And now you're hobbling during this conversation. And I'm gliding, baby, gliding. I had three things I wanted to get done. My hip, my knee, and at the time I had gotten a tooth pulled, and I was waiting to get he was making the fake one. So pandemic hits, right? All this shit happens. I was a mess. I just wanted all this stuff done, you know? So last week I finally got my new tooth in. My hip feels great. My knee feels great. I am good to go, bro. And when he put my tooth in, same thing like you were saying about how now you're thinking about your toe. He puts the tooth in and he goes, It should be tight, but you shouldn't. It shouldn't feel like it's moving your other teeth. Does it feel like it's moving your other teeth? I go, Doc, I don't know what that would feel like. I got to be honest with you. I mean, it feels tight. I don't know if it's moving my other teeth. Now, every minute I'm driving in the car, I feel like it's pushing my front teeth forward. So I'm looking in my mirror going, am I getting buck teeth? Am I getting buck teeth? Right? Whereas if he didn't say that, I would think everything's fine. You got in my head. You're getting in my head.
You know, I got to tell you, if my dentist says that to me, I'm like, you didn't put it in right. It'd be like someone screwing on the tire and then telling you, if you're driving and you feel it wobbling, let me know.
Why
you didn't put it on right?
Well, to your point, bro, it screws in, and this guy's a high-tech dentist. I really like him. They make the teeth on location too, but he screws it in and he goes, you can chew on it and do everything you would on. He goes, but I'm not going to tighten it till next week. I want you to feel it out for... It's like you're saying, you're not tightening the tire because you're pretty confident it's going to fucking fall off too, right? It's going to pop or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't do a half joke, feel you out, and come back next weekend and hit you with the punchline, right? Do you feel like your other teeth are getting moved? What? Oh, yeah. You know, like that happened last Wednesday, that thing that never happened? Do you think that's happening? That's your job, right? Holy shit.
Oh, man.
So that's that.
So you're at 100%. You're operating at an optimal level over there. The hip, the knee, the teeth, everything is working.
Full efficiency. Full efficiency.
I'm jealous, man. I got to get to that point myself. I went to the dentist. Did I tell you I went to a new dentist? And I opened my mouth, and I got fillings from cavities from late 70s, early 80s,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, the cereal we ate, I can't believe I got any originals left in my mouth.
So I opened my mouth, and the dentist goes, whoa. I go, whoa. She goes, you still got silver? Do you have silver?
I thought I did. I don't know. I mean, did I? your cavities are so old. When the dentist was putting them in, Karen Carpenter was playing on the radio. And it was like in the top 20. It wasn't even like an oldie station.
The fuck you doing? So I go. She goes, let me take a look. And she looks around. And she goes, yeah, I would replace these silver. I go, why? She goes, what happens is they start to crack and you could get bacteria in your teeth and cavity could form underneath the actual cavity. So,
right.
And for aesthetically speaking, we do white now. It's all white. So when you open your mouth and laugh, you see all white instead of a steel mill.
Now that I think about it, I know I got mine all white. Now I know what she's talking about. Not a steel mill. Oh, shit. Well, I think, the first part with the bacteria, because I was ready to blow that part off, because I'm like, honey, if that hasn't happened since 1975, I ain't worried about it. But then when she hits you with the, we make them white now. You're like, I got your message. So did you get that done, bro?
So I'm going in, and I'm getting that taken care of within the next 2 months. Let me ask you this. They said it takes, so there's four different, quadrants, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you could come in, do one, come back, do another one, four different times. Or we could do one side one day and the other side the next day. I said, well, how long is the procedure? She's like, if you do just the one quadrant,
it's an hour. Obviously, you do two, it's 2 hours. So if you came in 2 hours one side, 2 hours the next side, would you do bang it out in 2 days or 4 days?
I'd be like, let's do 1 day, 4 hours. Can we do that option?
Day, 4 hours?
Yeah.
No, what?
I know what you're saying. I'm adding a third option. I'm saying not half, just half lunch, other half. You know what I'm saying?
Lunch.
I can't keep her on her feet too long, you know what I'm saying? But listen, I don't like getting numbed. I hate it. It ruins my whole day. So let's just numb the whole shit all day. I'll sit here all day. We do it all. And then send me home like a puddle. I go to bed next day. I'm all white and tight, right?
So you knock it out during the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You want to just stay there the whole day.
Yeah. You got 4 hours, four quads, an hour a quad, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying like two quads, take a break, do the other two quads. It's like you're going to do something 2 hours later after I leave. Just do me again. Is she like, it's really painful and I can't do that to you?
Well, it's like the Novocaine. And I don't like my mouth being open for that long. You know, I get like, after a while, it's like, all right, already, what are we going to do? Like if they told me, listen, we put you under and we crank your mouth open with a crane and we just work on it.
IV in your arm to keep you hydrated.
Yeah, whatever it is. Just knock me out. I wake up. The silver's gone, and I'm white. I go home, and we're good to go.
Oh man!
I don't know. I gotta test the options there. So I'm trying to get to Pete Corielli level here, 100%, with the toe and the teeth.
Well, I mean, listen, you're like, if we're a house, I'm renovated, but you decided to do the basement in the attic. I mean, you're doing things I wouldn't do. I got to check after the show. I would imagine I have a couple of grays up there, you know, the old kind, like, you know. So, but don't you ever have a moment where you're going, you know, Lana, like, look at where I'm at. Look at what I've done. Like, nobody's ever said, you know, you'd go places, kid, if you didn't have silver fillings. Like, fuck it. Like, when
it's not about anybody else. It's about, like, preventative. Right now, it's about preventative. I want to get rid of this because I don't want to have a cavity and the leakage. Rid of it. If it's a problem, get rid of it. I'm going to go to a cardiologist in a couple of weeks because, you know, I have some blockage in the Widowmaker.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different story.
I want to do preventative on that. I'm just trying to stay alive to see my kids graduate.
I hear you. I hear you, man. I just want to stay alive long enough to look my daughter's husband in the eyes and say, don't cheat on her ever, you piece of don't ever cheat on her. I will strike lightning down on you from above. And then I can die, you know what I'm saying? You treat her like gold. Hold on. Now, with the teeth... By the way, you know, guess what my tooth is made out of? Like, it's what fake teeth are made out of, you know?
No.
I asked him. Ceramic. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't ask him this. My question is, can that never get a cavity? Like, could I cover it in chocolate and wake up in the next morning for a week and nothing, just wash it?
Yeah, I don't think that's ever, like, and you say ceramic, and I'm wondering when they started filling teeth. And they said, the teeth are white. We should get maybe a ceramic to match. Why did they go with the silver? Why wasn't it ceramic to begin with?
No, my fake tooth is ceramic.
Oh, your fake
tooth.
Yeah,
the implant. Okay, I thought it was a implant.
Got it. Yeah, I don't think that thing's going anywhere. I think that's in and that's... Not going to get a cavity.
Right, so I said to the dentist once years ago when I got my first implant, I go, when we're adults, if we can afford it and whatever, I go, why wouldn't we just get them all taken out and all implants? And he goes, oh, God, Jesus, you wouldn't want to do that. And, like, he didn't even want to talk about it. And I'm like, why not? Then it's done. It's done. I don't even need toothpaste. That just hose them, right? Like,
well, here's a question for you. If that's made out of ceramic, what are teeth made out of?
That's a great question, bro. That's a great.
What's the consistency of a tooth? Like, what is it?
Cartilage? I don't know. But if let me ask you this, if you had a bucket of human teeth all cleaned and shined, is that worth money? Like if I had a bucket of ivory tusks from a horn, is human teeth worth any money, you think?
I don't think so. I don't think, if they were, they'd be fucking killing people and taking their teeth out.
Fucking junkies would be ripping their own teeth out. We'd be poached, bro.
We'd be killed on the spot. I mean, you don't really get. I've never heard a podcast talk about what teeth are made out of.
I don't know. You're right, man. I wonder. Don't get that.
Human teeth are made up of four different types of tissue: pulp, dentin, enamel, and cementum. The pulp is the innermost portion of the tooth and consists of connective tissue, nerves, and blood vessels, which nourish the tooth. No, they are not worth money. Sorry, crackheads.
Let's take a look at that mouth.
Oh, come on, doctor. Woo! Yeah, oh, great.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
You are something special. Thank you.
It's your professionalism that I respect.
So listen, I want to touch base with you since we talked about the cast t-shirts. Did we get any more orders?
Oh God, it's out of control. I wrote down, some things I wanted to share to you that people have asked. I'm like, I'm getting requests. This is just some of the stuff. All right, these are t-shirts. Doing a family operation, stuffing these things like crazy. I gotta cap it. I think I gotta stop it for a little while. I'm going nuts here. But one lady asks, can you text me the information on what the fabric is? Well, another guy, I've gotten orders, ask me why I'm not shipping to Germany. Can I ship to Australia? One guy's in Iran. He wants the shirt. He wants the shirt in Iran. Bro, the show is unbelievable. I appreciate all that. And the Canadians, I love you Canadians. I love all you foreigners, but I can't ship foreign. I'm not an export business. I don't even know how to do that. I try to do it on the computer with Dad, and he's like, yeah, this is not going to, you know. If I tried to mail something from Fredonia to Iran, the Fredonia police will knock on my door going, what are you shipping to Iran? It'd be in the news. It'd be front page of the Observer. Pete Corielli shipped a package to Iran. Do I have green for St. Pat's Day? By the way, bro, I've been biting my tongue the whole show. I don't know about that shirt you're wearing, guy. I've been trying to be polite about it. But I think you don't even know either. You've been opening it up to show chest, and you've been tucking it in like a priest in the summertime. I don't know what. Yeah, listen, let's get rid of that. Take that out of the rotation, guys.
It's not even in the room. This was in the back of the closet. You ever go in there? Especially now, you know, coming out of the pandemic, I haven't worn anything with a button in 15 months. So I said, let me go in the back and see what's in the back of the closet. And I pulled out this relic.
Oh, man. Now you remember why it was back there. Holy shit. I mean, as soon as you came on the show, I was like, is he golfing after this? What the fuck is going on with that?
Nah, I figured let me brighten it up with a little lime.
You don't hear that too much. Let me brighten it up with some lime. Actually, bro, I should be into that shirt because I got my DNA results. I was a little hesitant to share this with you. I'm proud of it, but I'm going to tell you, 40% Northern Ireland. 40%. That's a lot.
I don't even think that makes you Italian anymore.
Oh, I'm only 48%, and it's Southern Italy, from Southern Italy, Naples. That's why I love pizza. Oh,
my God, bro. You're not even 50%. What's the other two?
Scotland. Ooh. And you ready for this? Somewhere along the line, someone in my family banged a Norwegian because I got Norway in me. That's I said to Jackie, that's why I crush on the Norwegian cruise ships. I'm fucking So I don't know when that mistake happened, but somebody in my family. No, but seriously, I'm a mutt, bro. But you know, it explains my affinity for booze and stuff, you know, the Irish part of me and the hot temper, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, well, listen, now when people ask you, what nationality are you? Do you go, I'm half Irish, half Italian?
No, luckily, most people go, so you're Italian, Pete? And I just go, yeah. You know, like they don't dissect. But if they do, you know, but listen, man, I've always been proud of my Irish side. I think it's it gives me a little bit of like, I don't know, man, a little bit.
I think you're trying to really make more of this than it is. You can't compete with the Italians.
I can't. But bro, last time I said anything like this, I got emails from people that are Irish literally telling me to go fuck myself.
If you don't care
about Ireland, and I do, so I got.
Once again. This is great comedy fodder. We take a small thing and we blow it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, for the Irish, I got green on today.
Yeah. That's it. Look, even people in Ireland, when you go on vacation, you go to Italy. You know? Come on. That's that. I thought that was it. And then there's like people that did the DNA. I know you did it. That did the DNA that they say these people might be a match to you. They might be family. And you can, I try to click on them, but like nobody's interested in knowing if they're related to me. I can't get one person to hit me back with like a.
Oh, yeah. You're that guy? Wait a minute. You're the guy that I open up my email box and it's, hey, we might re-relate. Delete.
Yeah, but not because we have the same last name. I told you the famous spearfishing guy off the coast of Florida named Pete Corielli. I've never bothered him once, man. But this is DNA. This is positive. This is scientific. I mean, I'm hoping to be in somewhere in Northern Ireland meeting my Ireland brothers going, we've been fighting the fight for our independence. And I'm like, I hear you, man. You know, like, wouldn't that be cool? No? No one's interested.
No one's interested in that shit. No one's going to email you back going, yeah, I think we should meet for a cup of coffee and talk about our great-grandfather.
Yeah. No bites.
Go ahead. What do you got?
So I wanted to share this with you. I forgot to tell you. And listen, folks, this is not a sad thing. It's a story and it's a cast. So Thursday, we had my dad's, you know, memorial/funeral.
Yeah.
And a beautiful ceremony. Everything was great. I just got a couple funny things I want to share. Well, one was funny I want to share with you. So we go to sit down now. We're in the church and it's about to start. And my sister and brother are both going to read and later on, I'm going to speak, like, later on. And as soon as we sit down, now, Jackie's not, I sit with my mom, so she's in a pew, like, behind me. As soon as we sit down, you know, obviously you're sad, and I go to wipe my eye, right, bro? Now, I know you don't wear contacts, but I know a lot of listeners do. I wipe my eye, and my lens goes up into my eyelid. I mean, this happens, like, twice a year. And here I am, and as soon as it went up, my left eye, I can't see as good. So now I can't see. And my sister's about to walk up and she's starting to speak. And I'm like, I'm missing my dad's funeral. I can't even see at my dad's funeral. So what you do with your fingers is you try to massage the contact lens down. I'm in the front pew. I'm the son of the deceased. So I'm kind of like doing a light massage. And I feel like half the people are like, oh, he's so upset, he can't even look up. And then I miss my whole sister's thing. I can hear it, I can't see it. I'm freaking out, you know? And I'm like, when I go to speak, if I can't see, I need to see faces, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, just leave it. It'll fall out on its own. And I'm waiting for like 10 minutes, and I'm squinting, and finally I feel it kind of fall, and no one's looking. And it's in my hand now. I'm in the front pew, in the front row, right up there. Now my brother's speaking. I do this, bro. I've had contact so long, I pop it in so fast. I sit back. And this is how long I've been married, man. I turn around to make eye contact with Jackie. Nobody else knows what's going on. She looks right at me. I'm like, my wife will know. She looks right at me and just lips the words, contact. You know? I'm like, yeah. And then she goes, you got it? And I go, I got it. And she's like, all right. So, and then I wanted to tell you, we dumped some ashes, Jackie and I, right? My mom had the funeral
party. Hold on. Wait. We're skipping over. Did you pepper some humor into the speech? How did you work this?
Well, I did it down by the burial site.
You didn't do it in the thing.
No.
Okay,
so the priest said a few things, and then I was going to get up and speak. Bro, I was more nervous than doing my first Tonight Show set. You know?
Wow.
And I had... Yeah, I didn't want to make it some big thing where I'm trying to blow everybody away. And you also know that being a comic, you feel like some of them are wondering, when he's going to do, if something clever or something, you know? So I talked it out with Jack, and I had a general idea what I wanted to do. Now, I got a question for you. We're all sitting in our chairs in front of where my dad's going to be lowered in. The priest says some nice words. Now, I'm going to go around and speak. It's sunny as heck, beautiful day. We're all in shades. When you're walking around to stand in front and face the mourners to give a eulogy at the burial site on a sunny day, do you keep the shades on or do you take the shades off?
What a question. And I got to tell you, you revert back to Stallone.
What? Well, you got an example in a movie?
In Rocky III. Right? Stallone, one of my favorite scenes, when he goes to put Mickey, he was actually in a mausoleum, you know, going to war. Stallone added shades on inside, in the mausoleum. Holy fuck. Bro, I think someone passes away, the whole day you're wearing shades. I'm sorry. In the church, outside, in the car, you put them on as soon as you step out of the house. You take them off before bed.
I love that. I love that. I did keep mine on, so I'm so psyched. I kept them on though because I was like, I can't be squinting through this thing, man. I gotta. So, and it's so funny, you know how you're acting more than me, but when you go to act. If you're going to do something where you're supposed to be trying not to cry, like I've done that, where you're like, he was a great, you know? It's so different than when you're actually doing that, like when you're really trying not to cry, because in my head I'm like, oh, so this is how it really feels. You know? In my head I'm like, I wasn't even close when I was trying to, you know? Because I've never really felt that before. So sad I can't get a sentence out. Come on. That never happened to me before, but now it happens. You're like, this is
nothing like the audition I did in 2005.
Exactly. On that audition, I just looked to the side going, should I wait a little longer? Oh, that's good. That's good.
Oh my god.
And I had a pause where I almost forgot what I was going to say, and then I gathered myself and it went great, and I got a laugh early on. It's even in that moment, you know, it makes you comfortable, right? So I get a laugh and the priest is right next to me, and the next thing I was going to tell them was my dad called something white trash, and he really said, this is goddamn white trash we're doing right here. It's a funny story. And I'm like, I should say the goddamn part, and then I should tap the priest and go, sorry, Father, but I had to keep it how it was, you know? And I did, and I go, my father was like, this is white trash. And it still got a laugh, but what made me laugh, though, bro, is the fact that I'm doing my dad's eulogy, and I'm working the crowd, thinking about, should I... do a side thing with the priest now. I keep her here, you know? I mean, that's like our instinct. You know what I'm saying? And I knew, and in my head, I'm going, if I do that and tap him on the shoulder and apologize for saying God damn, I'll kill. That's what was going on. Yeah.
Bro, they would have to take a fucking intermission.
But then I thought, it's hot. Do I want to kill that much? Is it appropriate to kill that much? You know what I'm saying? Oh, I mean,
oh my God, bro. That's good. That would have been great if you would have pulled that off.
Yeah, you know. And then that went really well, though. And I even opened up with, I know it's hot, and I'll keep this brief. I kind of like that when you let the audience know what to expect from a time standpoint.
Oh, yeah. That's a class move when you go, when you recognize the conditions, yeah. Right? And then you give them a little taste. Listen, I ain't going to be up here balling for 38 minutes. This is good. There's no fat on the bone in this speech, right?
Right, bro. And I feel like that makes them go, all right, then I'll give you my full attention, because it sounds like you're only asking for about 10 minutes of it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
So I got to tell you, so we did our thing where we're going to put some of the ashes out on the golf course.
Yeah.
Right? It was me and Jackie. I asked Jackie to do it with me, you know, and the place left some for my mom, and my mom thought it was a great idea, too. And she's like, they left you some. So, you know, we went to do it, and we did it at nighttime because you're not allowed to do it there. And we get to the golf course. Sadie's already sleeping. My mom's inside. It's got to be like 10 o'clock at night. This is one spot where my dad loved, one hole he loved to tee off from. So I go to Jackie. And again, folks, my dad is in a better place now. He's in, not a better place, but, you know, this isn't sad. I'm telling a story. And I
Yeah.
So we go to dump the ashes. And I go, let's just do a little first to see, like, how it plays out. You know, like, we don't know what. So we go to do it, and it's just sitting right on the green. It ain't going nowhere. Like, I thought it would do a dissolve. So now we're down on our hands and knees. We're rubbing it in with our fingers so that they won't see it.
Okay.
Is this out?
No, this is great. This is great. It's like you thought it was gonna be like fertilizer.
It was like dewy in the air, so I thought it would just kind of dissolve into the grass, and my dad would be. It just sat on it like frosting, like putting powdered sugar on a cake, and it's just sitting. It's all sitting there. Our guys are gonna be teeing off at 5:30 in the morning, going,
what the fuck is that? Is that an anthill?
So we're down on our hands and knees doing a finger rub, but we only dumped a little as a test, you know? So I go, all right, let's go to the ledge, to the edge, right where there's like a drop off to deep grass. So if they'll land in the deep grass, let's not do the rest on the tee, you know, on the green. And, you know, we said a few things, and it was kind of cool because you end up talking as if your dad's really there. And then, bro, we let it go, and I'm not even kidding you. It was like, I'm not saying it wasn't windy anyway, and all of a sudden, but there was a gust of wind, and as soon as I threw him, it just swirled up above the course, and it was gone, you know? And, you know, I'm not saying that was my dad and his spirit left because, you know, I mean, there was an urn full still back at the house. So who knows what's what. But all I know is it was pretty cool, man. And if you ever get the chance to do something like that, folks, and you think it might be weird, it's not weird, man. It's an awesome way to remember somebody. It was really funny. But definitely do a little dab rub before you dump the whole thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man.
My God, bro. What a story, man. Well, God bless your father. You're right. He will always be with us.
Yes.
Even though he's not. But yeah, man, thanks for sharing that story. And some people hearing that story might go, oh, yeah, you know, that's your dad. But I mean, what's funny is funny. You can't get around it. Even in times of sadness, we're always trying to pull the humor out of it.
Right? That's it. What do you want me not to talk about him at all? It's a funny, funny story, man. His spirit is already gone. I believe in that anyway.
Yeah.
By the way, one last question, and then I'm sorry, am I cutting you off?
No, no.
So it was Sadie's birthday last week. Long story short, she was, you know, misbehaving, and Jackie called her an asshole in front of a cousin on a birthday, going, "You're being such a little asshole." And then Jackie's like, "I'm the worst parent, da da da." Now, I'm telling her, don't beat yourself up. I think it's great parenting. She was misbehaving badly, and I feel like a kid needs to learn. You're never above the day. Just because it's your birthday. I remember Christmas morning, right before I opened my gifts, I was being rude to my brother and sister, and my father, I was 8 years old, sent me to my room. Christmas morning. I'm like, what the fuck? My gifts from Santa are under the tree, and I'm sitting in my room for like a half hour, and then he goes, "You can come out and open them now." I'm like, holy shit. So what's your take, man? A little rough calling the kid an asshole? She never has before.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I would use the word asshole, and I mean, she's not a dock worker, you know. Hey. You assholes want to get in there?
No, you're right, but yeah, it's amazing, man. By 8 years old, the kid's got a good grasp of what an asshole is. It's such a perfect word. You're not being a jerk.
No.
You're not being goofy. You're being an asshole.
Listen, I totally understand the word, the strength of the word, and the meaning.
You're not arguing that.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, maybe we wait till 15.
Right, maybe we wait till she can actually open a can of tuna fish on her own before we actually start using words like that.
Well, it's funny because I did something last night. I think I pulled a Pete last night without even knowing it. You know, Serafina's been testing my nerves over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, we're starting to get into this, you know, here. It's from the other kids. She's seeing how other kids behave, and she's aping that behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The work I've been doing and the work Lana's been doing at the house up until now is being tested by other kids.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
This is why I would advocate the kids don't see any kids until they go to high school. This way they're not influenced by any other behaviors, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm getting like, you know, I'll ask a question. I don't know if you've gone through this stage or if this is specific to Serafina. I go, Serafina, does that, and she's playing with something. I said, does the crane come down and hit the car? And I don't get a response, right? Because she's playing, right? I go, Serafina, and I get in her face. I go, when I'm talking to you, you answer your father, right? She goes, no, daddy, you didn't. Okay. So stuff like that. You know, like, come here, it's time to eat. And she don't come. You know, getting that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So. And
no, you're scaring me. I mean, I'm like, I'd give you the crane or what the fuck. What do you want to know, Dad? You're very intimidating. You played a gangster with De Niro, guy. Tone it down. You're scaring the kid.
But I'm not at all in any way, shape, or form. I never yell at Serafina. I've never hit Serafina. I've always been very diplomatic in my disciplining.
Yeah.
I often take her to the side and I'll say, hey, listen, we do not do that in this house. What we do is you address, you know, because she's, her and her brother, Caruso, they got this thing that they're doing, they're calling everybody caca. That's like, and I found out they got this from one of the students or the kids that comes over to the house.
Yeah.
And I found out the mother taught the kid that, and then the kids, you know, and I go, the mother taught the kid? So anyway, I got upset with that.
Yeah. Anyway. I hear you, man.
Anyway.
I love it.
Lana, we're in a bathtub last night. I'm giving her a bath, and Lana's with Caruso. We already took him out. So I'm outside the bathtub, and Serafina's in the bath, and, you know, the bath was over. You know, but she was still hanging in the bathtub.
Yeah.
But she's laying down in the bathtub.
Having a good time.
Yeah, but it's over. It's time to dry off. So she's like singing in the bathtub. I go, okay, Sophia, time to get out. You know, she's still singing, looking at me, testing me. Time to get out. So I pull this one. I go, I've never raised my voice at her at all. I go, I want to see what type of reaction I get if I yell at her. So out of nowhere, I go, get out of your tub! So she looks up at me, and she cracks a little smile, right? But I don't crack. Right, I just stare at her, and then she realizes this is serious. She start crying,
yep.
And I'm like, "Oh man!" And then Lana comes in. She goes, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Yup, yup.
I go. It was the test. It was the test. I wanted to see if a real high volume would have got her out of the. Didn't work, bro. Didn't work. All right. She was crying, ball. So then I had to come. Baby, I was kidding. I was kidding. Right? I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
I think it did work. Cause this morning it was a whole different attitude. Serafina, come here. Time for breakfast. Yes, Daddy. I think she saw a glimpse of like, oh, that's where it could go. That's,
yes, man. Yes. And it's, I love it. That's good parenting. Listen,
go ahead.
Same sort of thing with me when it started out. I yell, kid cries, wife yells at me for making kid cry. I'm the bad guy. But, you know, after a while, like now with Sadie, when I get really pissed, I go, and I like do that half come towards her, and she knows the deal. Now with you, you just make the face that you make right before you yell, and Serafina is going to know it had to be done. Had to be done.
She needed to see another side. That's where that could go. And I got to tell you this morning, I didn't even tell Lana this because Lana's going to say, yeah, right. Yeah, it's because you did that last night. Yeah. But I'm going to tell her, I go, it's been a difference. There's been a change in the guard ever since the bathtub yell out. Right?
Right.
So I want to see what's going on the rest of the day to see if there's any. Yeah, I mean, it should be a chapter in a book of parenting.
Bro, by the time your daughter's 16 and she's out with a bunch of kids and they're all about to do bad thing and all kid, everyone's going, I'm in. It's going to get to your daughter and she's going to go, I'm out because my dad will kill me.
Yeah.
Boom. Job That's it. Done. Job done. Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
That must have been jarring, man, for you to do that. Gosh, because you got a deep, loud. It's like everyone listening the other day was trying to track down. They always still talk about it when you told the lady to shut the fuck up on the plane, man. You know?
Take a walk. Take a walk. No, it's this thing came out of nowhere, and I was surprised how loud I was. Like, I yelled. You ever yell and go, man, I didn't plan on it coming out that way. And it came out clear, and I meant business. And, yeah, we'll see what that's going to do the rest of the week. I got, we had Caruso's birthday party at the beach a couple days ago, right? We invited a couple families to the beach. Let me get your take on this. I'm not a beach guy. The sand, the whole thing bothers me. Food at the beach, it's, you know, the kids, you know, Caruso's eating sand. It's just, you know, get in a car, you might as well build a sand castle by the time you're done. The amount of sand that's falling out of kid's shorts.
Well, did you do your thing where you got the person set it all up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Listen. We planned this the night before Lana and I, like, what are we going to do for Caruso's birthday? I mean, we had his birthday party, but, like, for his actual day.
Yeah.
She's like, let's go to the beach. And she's like, contact that Beach Now group. And Beach Now, after we did this podcast, they heard the podcast and reached out to me and said, thank you so much for mentioning us on your podcast. And you really helped drum up some business, what have you. Let me know the next time you guys want to come out. I'll take care of it. So I call him up. I said, listen, we want to come out to the beach tomorrow. And she's like, listen, we typically don't work on Tuesdays, but for you, we'll set it up, right? Really sweet.
Nice. Right.
So sets up a beautiful setup. And as I'm talking to her, she goes, thank you so much for talking about us on the podcast. She goes, it was like, it's like an infomercial. You get it. you get the concept, you know, of like half of the struggle going to the beach is bringing everything. And we bring everything. So they had it all lined up. The whole thing was beautiful.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't know if this is white trash or not, but we did it. It was about 92 degrees, and the type of degree where the sand is boiling, you know, like where you got to run into the water because you burn your feet off.
It's a good beach day, man.
Good beach day, not too many people, and Serafina's got to go to the bathroom.
Number one,
but she's not going into the water. She's not like, what? She's not. She's going into the water a little bit, but you got to go really far out because you'd have to walk, I'd say, 100 yards in order for Serafina to go underneath. She might as well piss in her pants on the sand.
Wait. She doesn't have a bathing suit on?
Yeah, she got a bathing suit on.
So what's the problem? You literally just pour a bucket of water on her standing there and tell her to pee as I'm pouring. I mean,
I didn't even think of that.
If a child has to pee and they're in a bathing suit, this is a non-issue. Just go for a walk.
I just started pissing in my pants in a pool or an ocean when I was 43.
What?
I was the guy. Yeah, I got a. Bro, when I was a kid, I had a piss. I got out of the water, and I ran into the bathroom. Wet.
Bro, if I have to pee on my way into the water, and I'm passing the bathroom, I'll hold it in just to pee in the ocean because it's more pleasurable than that nasty bathroom. You ever go in there barefoot, and it's all wet and slippery? And that's when you know you're getting the fungus. But peeing in the ocean... The bathroom is for shitting. If anyone's going into the bathroom, in my head, I'm like, they must be dumping.
You know what? I was traumatized as a kid because my parents told me, you know, piss in the pool. Right? We're not on a molly.
No, not a pool. Ocean. Ocean and lake. Well,
a lot of kids piss in the pool.
Yeah, no, that's no good. You don't do that. I'm just saying, any natural body of water, ocean, lake, stream, river, a hard rain. What did we do with Serafina? Who walked this poor girl all the way up?
No, she's like, I gotta go, and she squatted down in her bathing suit on the sand, and she went.
That's what I'm talking about. Beautiful.
And I was looking at it. I go, ooh, this might be white trash.
That's no, come on, that's totally acceptable behavior, man.
Oh man. So yeah, we had a good time. We had a good time out there.
Beautiful.
For Crusoe's second birthday.
What the sharks though? Like, I mean, is it different than we were kids now? Is it just the news? But it seems to me when you swim in an ocean now, there's more of a concern. We would joke about sharks, but we were joking. Now it's like, watch for sharks. What? What? I'm not even going in. I don't get it. Is it worse now? Do you think? I know you're no marine biologist, but...
I don't know, but I have to tell you, we were kind of like right where the sand meets the water, and we saw a dolphin about 50 yards away, like close, going like this, and I'm sitting there going, if the dolphin is this close... Like, I want to know from a marine biologist if it... Does the dolphin go over that close to the shore and the shark swimming by and go, what the fuck is he doing over there? Let me go check it out.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, right?
So if you see a dolphin close, my question is a shark that far behind?
I would think not, man, right? I mean, dolphin is shark food, so isn't it?
Is it? I don't think sharks eat dolphins. Too big.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. All right, but bottom line, if a dolphin can make its way comfortably through this kind of shallow water, I'm assuming a shark can too, so I'm going to get out. Right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm getting out. If a dolphin's in the... I'm sorry. I know they're friendly. I have a feeling that I'm going to meet the one that's not. Right. You know, like... Like went off the like the dolphin that had a problem during birth, something mental, I don't know, that he's attacking people.
Just charge you and cave in your chest with its nose, right? Just boom. No one's ever seen it before. They're dragging you out with a hole in your chest. He got stabbed by a dolphin. Holy shit.
I mean, like, what the hell happened? We never seen anything. He got harpooned by a dolphin.
What?
Yeah, right to the chest plate. Oh, God. Oh, God. Listen, I got to go do this voiceover, man. Yeah. Good hang, man. This was this was one of those fun ones, man.
Absolutely.
This is like I don't know where the time went. Thanks for listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show. We will be back next week, hopefully, with some more foot stories. Yeah. And we'll talk to you soon.
Later, bro.
Take care, man.
The show has ended.
It's all white, so when you open your mouth and laugh, you see all white instead of a steel mill.